The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by marine biologist Keelan Doyle, who has waited some 35 years to tell me this story. Keelan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, you and I had a conversation about 35 years ago. What were the circumstances?
About 35 years ago, and I've waited all these years to tell you the story. And now we're not just telling you, but we're getting to tell all your listeners.
We had a conversation on air about a proposed adventure of yours.
Yeah, so I was, and you have to sort of picture the scene, I was this 17-year-old young marine biologist, and I'd heard this story that there was a part of Ghana that the Americans wanted to set up a hydroelectric power station, and they were going to flood an area the size of Wales, right? Bwi National Park. And this area had never been investigated scientifically, so nobody knew what was in this area. A, because it was remote, but it was plagued by the black fly, which causes river blindness. So all men over 30 were actually blind in this area.
My goodness.
So I got it into my head, 17, full of the energies and enthusiasm for life, that we would like to try and do something about it. And where else to go but contact Pat Kenny? And of course, you know, there's no emails, there's no, you know, social media. So I think we rang a switchboard expecting to be told to take a long jump. And next thing, we were on live radio with yourself, and the nerves and the fear, but you just made us feel so relaxed. And I think the enthusiasm and the passion came across.
Now, this was a trip of you and one other person. That was the idea.
Two of us, yeah. Students, young.
Head off into the darkest part of West Africa, if you like. And I mean dark in the sense of unknown, unexplored.
Dark in the sense it was that unknown path that no foreigners had ever visited this area ever before. So they had never seen a foreign person, a European, an American, an Australian, and let alone a redhead Irishman. So it was a huge undertaking, and we just had no idea where we could possibly get funding. Like, there was no internet back then, there was no email, there was no mobile phone. So you were just literally shooting in the dark. Did the radio interview and went off, and I think about 2 hours later, somebody from the switchboard in the university came to our class and said there was a phone call from the Pat Kenny Show. Again, that was the only way of contacting. So we then went back, and it was agreed at a certain time that there'd be a phone call made. And it turns out that there was a company in Ireland who had listened to the interview, and they rang and they wanted to talk to us. And that basically set the whole thing rolling.
Now, this company had an interest in a particular thing that you might find in this part of Africa.
Exactly. So they make a product that's a clarifying agent in beer. So it clears beer. And what they use fish collagen. Okay. So collagen, fish collagen, every fish has an organ called a swim bladder. And it's like their lungs. So it's used to sort of inflate so it can make them rise and fall in the water. Okay. But this particular fish that's found in this part of Ghana, it's a catfish, and it's got this big skeleton head. It's got a very strong exoskeleton. So it's a heavy fish. So for it to rise in the water, it needs an extra large swim bladder.
Which means lots of collagen.
And the people in Africa, they eat every single part of the fish except
the swim bladder.
That gets discarded. So their idea was that if we could try and get the local fishermen to keep the swim bladder, to dry them out on top of their huts that they live in, and then we could somehow organise these to be collected and brought down to the capital and shipped to Ireland. So that, number one, it would give this Irish company a huge resource and source of this collagen. But from my perspective, more importantly, it would give much needed income to these people who, when I say, Pat, they had nothing, they had nothing.
So the idea would be they would get this fish collagen, the swim bladders, store them, dry them and sell them at a price to this Cork company. What an extraordinary idea.
Exactly. And I mean, in terms of sort of environmentally friendly, this product was essentially being discarded. So it was something that could be used. You didn't need any sort of fancy drying techniques. You could use the roofs, naturally dry it, and naturally ship it. And once it was dried, it was very easy and economical to ship at that point.
Now, the reason you were going was to try and document everything before everything was destroyed, because the American company was going to dam the river, displacing how many people?
So there was two native tribes. There would have been about 20,000 people that lived within this area. And as I said, initially there was two of us hoping to go out there. But what was amazing, and you know, life is fascinating, and it's things that happen to us in life that have such an influence in our lives. And by going on your radio show, we got that phone call. We got £40,000 funding to go
out. A lot of money 35 years ago.
Massive money. And Pat, that not only enabled us to go out there, it allowed us to bring 42 scientists from all around the world who are experts in different areas. So for example, I was surveying the fish, somebody else was doing dragonflies, somebody was doing bats, somebody was doing butterflies, rodents, etc. So we did a complete study of every species that was found in this area.
And there were discoveries.
Massive. I mean, for example, there were two new dragonfly species that had never, ever been identified ever in the world. So this was the first time in science that these species had been found. There were species of fish that were found in the area that had never been discovered in Africa before. There was just so many interesting findings, and it was so significant that the World Health Authority seen this, and they decided that the Americans weren't allowed to dam this area. So because I went on that radio interview, we got the money, we went out there, we made all these discoveries. And to this date, 35 years ago, despite many attempts, the Americans have never managed to dam it. And this ecosystem stays as pristine as it was the time we visited it.
Now, it was a place that was so primitive that they didn't have, for example, plastics.
Again, it taught me so much in life, Pat. I mean, for example, in their village, in the centre of the village, there would be daily meetings. And the big building that people would sit under was only about a metre and a half high. And of course, I discovered that the reason was that it forced you to stay seated. So if somebody got a bit aggravated, you know, nobody could stand up and call. You know, there was reasons for everything. But plastic, these were just naturally the most environmentally friendly people. There was no toilet roll, there was no toothpaste wrappers, there was no chocolate, there was no nothing. When we'd go on a fishing trip with them up the river, they would plant cassava. And when they would come back 12 months later, they would naturally harvest the products. It was a lesson in environmental awareness, and it was a lesson in life, Pat. They had, like, they lived day to day. They had so little, and I've been lucky to travel and live in so many countries around the world, but I have never, ever, ever met people as happy as these people, and they had nothing.
Now, at the same time, there was a worldwide HIV epidemic going on. And you decided that in order to prevent its spread in that particular area, you'd do them a favour. What did you do?
So so we decided, based on advice, that we would bring them condoms, right? Because we were told that obviously this would be a very sensible thing to do because of the HIV issue. So we arrived, and there was a big welcoming party the night. And as I said, like, they had never, imagine you've never seen a foreigner before. And this redheaded Irish lad walks into town, and literally there'd be 50 or 60 people just around you, touching you, men, women, children, just feeling your hair, touching your skin. It was incredible. So there was a big party that night. We gave them all the condoms, and I woke up the next morning with a little hangover after drinking the local gin. And I looked out, and what did I see? Only a clothesline. And on the line, all the condoms that we'd given them were hanging out to dry, to be reused. And I'm like, and of course they just couldn't.
Now that's what I call sustainability.
And this is sustainability. They just couldn't fathom that you wouldn't use them again the next night. So anyway, I hope they're still working well for them.
Is the indigenous industry still thriving there and producing the collagen?
Massively. Still in contact with them, and it's still working. It's expanded along the whole river section. And Pat, the money that this has brought in has helped to do so many positive things. The area is still healthy, the wildlife is still healthy, and it just restores your hope in sort of humanity and how we can live together sustainably with nature.
But you didn't come unscathed out of the whole adventure. What happened to you?
No, I unfortunately got malaria and my appendix burst. And believe it or not, by the time they managed to get me to a hospital, my appendix was burst for 3 weeks.
Poisoning your system.
Poisonous system. They had to remove half of my stomach. By the time I eventually got back to Ireland, I'm 11 stone now, and I was just under 6 stone weight. But got through it, got to go back, and, you know, it was the start for me. I got to work with the coastal areas, I got to work with seahorses, and it started my career path, and it's gone on and on from there. And none of that would have happened if it wasn't for that interview with you 35 years ago.
And it makes my heart sing to hear that story. Keelan Doyle, marine biologist, thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.